decision. Let it be today. Thank you for how you bless us. Lead, guide, direct us, found it. For Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see everybody that's here this morning. We will continue on with our call to worship. So if you'll please stand, we will sing number 7, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee, number 7.
It is great to be back among you this morning and worshiping together in this beautiful sanctuary in this beautiful spring morning. I love spring mornings. The flowers blooming and the green grass. God is good and His creation is awesome and perfect. Just have a few announcements to share with you, and most of them are in the bulletin, so if you want to look on the bulletin as well. The Lord's Supper and special music night are coming up next week. Be in prayer about Lord's Supper. Prepare your hearts even now as we plan that. If you have a special talent that you would like to share, if you can sing, play a musical instrument, I think Hayden's working on a piece where he's going to play the saxophone and sing at the same time. So that will be something to see. So sign up in the foyer at the Hillcrest Happenings table. The Joys are having a potluck on Thursday, April 27th at 11:30. The meat will be provided. Bring a side dish or a dessert. And all senior adults are invited. VBS, it's hard to believe I'm saying this, but VBS is right around the corner. The youth went out last week and handed out boxes and had some information about VBS coming up. And I encourage you all, grab some flyers, hand them out to your neighbors, to your friends, to whoever at Walmart or Kroger or wherever you shop. But let's get a lot of excitement about VBS. It's our probably our biggest outreach of the year, and we are appreciative of all that the workers do for that. And if you're interested in working for VBS, we will be having a workers' meeting on May 15th at 6 p.m., and I think it'll be in the fellowship hall. So mark that on your calendar and come if you can. If you want to be a part of the pictorial directory, you need to see Miss Ginger right after church and get that picture made. We're wanting everybody to participate in that. And finally, the GAs are, did you want to say something? All right.
Good morning. As the GA leader, I'm mighty proud of our girls. We're
We've decided as a group that we're going to be sponsoring one of our missionaries for the week of prayer this year, for the Annie Armstrong week of prayer. Kay Bennett lives in New Orleans, Louisiana, and she helps run the Baptist Friendship House there. She works with a lot of homeless people, and she works with human trafficking victims. They really need help. So we are getting together. In your bulletins, you'll see a blue piece of paper for the next, through the last Wednesday in July, I believe. We're going to be collecting items. This is the list for April and May. We will have another list for June and another for July. There will be a master list and a box set up in the foyer. We're just asking for your help. If you find anything on the master list that's not on this month's list, feel free to grab it up. We're really trying to help as much as we can to fulfill the needs Baptist Friendship has. So we would really appreciate your help in our missions trip. Thank you.
All righty, I think that's all the announcements that I have, but I want to welcome you to Hillcrest Baptist Church this morning. See a lot of new faces, so home folk, as we stand up and sing in a few minutes, spot out some new folk and make sure you go and introduce yourself and greet them properly. But let's all stand up as we greet each other as we sing.
Cleansed by His blood, joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this art. For I'm part of the family of God. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this art. For I'm part of the family of God.
And you may be seated.
That's one of my favorite times, the fellowship in this church. Shall we pray? Almighty God, I just thank You for this day. I thank You, Lord, for this time that we can come together as Hillcrest Baptist Church and worship You, our Lord. As it says in Psalms, Lord, may the meditation of our hearts, the words of our mouth, be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Please, dear God, be pleased with our worship today. Open our hearts, dear God, and receive everything that You have for us today. Use us for Your glory, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. At this time, if the little children will come on forward for the lesson.
Okay, so this morning we are going to learn about Jonah and the whale. How many of you have learned about Jonah and the whale? Okay, pretty good amount. You have a book about it? Okay, well, I'm going to tell you about Jonah and the whale, just in case you haven't heard about him. So Jonah was a man who God asked to go to Nineveh, and Nineveh was this scary place, really, that didn't have a lot of godly people, and Jonah didn't really think that they deserved God's love, right? And so God asked him to go there and to tell them about God, and he didn't want to go. So he got in a ship, and he hid, and he thought, you know, God will never find me here. And so, he hid, and like many of us, we hide from God, and we think God will never find out that we did this, but God found out, and he sent a big, bad storm out for him, and it shook the ship up. There was waves crashing on the ship, and eventually, Jonah found out, you know, he was like, it's me, I'm the problem. And so, they threw him off the ship, and God was like, your plan is not over yet. And so God sent this big whale, and he swallowed up Jonah whole. Fish. Big fish. You're right. It never said the whale. Big fish. Right. And so a big fish swallowed up Jonah. And Jonah said, thank you, Lord, for saving me. I will go do your work. And afterwards, the whale spit him out. Fish. The big fish spit Jonah out. And Jonah went to the people and said, you cannot hide from God. God is always around us, and he will always find out what you're doing, what you're not doing. So, end of the story. Just know that God's always with you. And when God tells you to do something, you should probably listen to it, you know, and not be swallowed up by a big fish, not a whale. So, who wants some candy?
And you may remain seated as we continue on with number 10, How Great Thou Art, number 10.
When through the sent him to die. I scarce can take it in that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art.
Please stand as we continue on with number 438, Heaven Came Down, 438.
Savior I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend. He met the need of my heart. Shadows dispelling with joy, I am telling, he made all the darkness depart. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole. Sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down, and glory filled my soul. Born of the Spirit, with life from above, into God's family divine, justified fully through Calvary's love. Oh, what a standing is mine! And the transaction so quickly was made, when as a sinner I came. Took the offer of grace, he did proffer, he saved me, oh praise his dear name. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down, and glory filled my soul. Now in all hope that was surely endured, after the passing of time, I have a future in heaven for sure, there in those mansions above. Because of that wonderful day, when at the cross I believed, riches eternal and blessings supernal from his precious hand I received. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul.
Messiah would come, and the earth would rejoice, the people start to sing. For they would behold, as scripture foretold, a mighty King of Kings. But he came as a child, not like they had planned, not like they planned. This be the one, a carpenter's son, a man condemned to die. But a lion roared deep inside the lamb, inside the man.
Thank you, Miss Claudia. That was beautiful. We're going to talk about marriage today. You know, I had a lady one time, as I was opening the car door for my wife, to tell me, I wish you would teach my husband those kind of things, because it sure would be nice for me to be treated like that. I said, well, you wouldn't want my wife to teach you the things that she does for me either. She goes, like what? Like pulling my feet up into her lap and rubbing my feet and trimming my nails. She goes, oh, forget that. If your marriage, if you were to treat your love, if you were to treat your love the way you treat your love, would you be happy? Would you be happy with the way they treated you if they treated you the same way? Would you be happy with your marriage if your love treated you the way that you treat them? I will profess that I am married to the most beautiful green-eyed girl there is in the whole wide world. And she's got a heart that is pure as gold. And that's the way I feel about her, and I always will. Turn in your Bibles, please, if you would, to Genesis chapter 20, chapter 2, verse 24 is where we'll start. And then we'll jump from there to Mark chapter 10, verses 6 through 9. It says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And then on over to Mark chapter 10, verses 6 through 9. The first one was from Genesis, where God is speaking, telling us how that a man should be to his wife. Marriage had begun with that very moment. In chapter 10 of Mark, verses 6 through 9, Jesus is saying to them, but from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Let us pray. Almighty God, use this your servant to speak through me today the words that you want the people to hear. Place upon my heart, dear Lord, the message that is to be brought. And then, Spirit, work on the hearts of those that hear it. That today there will be a change to happen in the hearts of those that are here. Man shall leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. Too often, they don't leave. They like where they're at, because where they've gone to, they don't have the things they used to have. But they have something new. They have a new love that they're nurturing and growing together. I couldn't understand cleave, because according to the way that God, cleave, the word in there, I looked it up, and cleave means a cleaver is to cut apart. But there's two definitions for cleave. A cleave is also a joining together, tying together. They shall cleave. He shall cleave to his wife, and they shall be one. Now, just for the fun of it, we're going to go over to Ecclesiastes. Hold your finger right there in Mark. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 12. It's right after Proverbs and before Revelation. Chapter 4 and verse 12 of Ecclesiastes, it says, "And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken." I want you to think on that threefold cord this morning. A cord is a part of a rope, and it can be broken fairly easily. When you twist two of them together, you have a two-strand cord, a rope, and it's a little bit harder to break. But according to God's word, a three-strand cord is hard to break. And if your marriage does not have a three-strand cord, it's going to be easily broken. Keep your finger in Mark chapter 10 and jump over to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 1. And verse 10. "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye are perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment." This is the way a marriage is supposed to be. We're supposed to be joined together so tightly knit that nothing can penetrate that. You know? Your marriage should be so strong that no matter where your wife goes, husbands, you ain't got to worry about it one bit. In the same fashion with when the guys go somewhere, the ladies shouldn't have to worry about it. You see, some people are doing marriage the wrong way. So we need to find out the right way of doing it in order to have it right. Go to John, well, let's just do this. We're going to, John 3:16. Let's see it up there, Alex. John 3:16. Everybody knows John 3:16. I want you to read it with me this morning, if you don't know it. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Now let's change it up a little bit. Let's make it personal. Let's change the world into me. "For God so loved me, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I'm telling you now, if you do not have Christ into your life, you already are missing the most important strand in that three-cord rope of your marriage. Period. 2 Corinthians 5:15, it says, "And that he died for all." Now think about this. We just went through the Easter services a couple weeks ago. "He died for all, that they which live shall not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." He died for all. That's including everybody. No matter whether you know Christ as your Lord and Savior or not, he died for you. But he did something greater. He rose again for you. He died for you that they which live, he's talking about Christians now, those that live, they have the light of Christ in their life. They that live shall not henceforth live unto themselves. There interlies another problem with a lot of marriages. Quite often, Don comes out in our marriage, and he causes a lot of problems. I tell my wife so often, sometimes when I get in a grouch, I say, I'm sorry I'm a grouch. She says, so am I. We need Christ to guide us every day of our lives, Christian, especially in our marriage. And they which live shall not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wonder what it'd be like if everybody just surrendered to Christ. I want you to understand something. I don't want you to think that being committed to Christ is good, because it's not. It's not good to be committed to Christ. I don't want you to be committed to Christ. I want you to be surrendered to Christ. Surrendering means you have given everything that there is of you to Christ, and He owns it. You no longer belong to you. Oh, by the way, if you read God's Word enough, you'll understand. There's nothing He doesn't own. Even those that will never come to know Him will understand that issue one day, when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He owns it all. There's no U-Hauls going to heaven when you die. I don't own my wife. I don't own my kids. I don't own me. Christ owns it all. And until you let that happen, you can't have the relationship you need to have with Christ. And therefore, you can't have the relationship you need to have with your spouse. Now I'm going to meddle a little bit. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. I'm going to talk to you husbands now. Ephesians 5:25, it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Are you willing to die for your wife? Oh, I'm not talking about a physical death, even though it's you should. I'm talking about an internal spiritual self, where you're willing to die to self for your wife. Because you see, if we're Christians, we're supposed to be Christ-like. And so there should be a surrendering of the husband to the wife, just like there's a surrendering of the man of God to Christ. It talks in 1 Corinthians about the body of the man does not belong to him, it belongs to his wife. In the same fashion, the body of the woman does not belong to her, it belongs to her husband. And the only time that they even consider not sharing each other with each other is when it's for they come together in agreement to not have that while they're praying and fasting for something. But it has to be an agreement between the two. Gave himself for the church. Now then, the next one's for you ladies. And I'm not going to go to Ephesians 5:22 where it says, you're to submit to your husbands. No. I went to this one because I had one time a lady tell me, I'm not commanded to love my husband. Really? Well, let's try this one on for size then. Titus chapter 2 and verse 4. We'll just start at verses 3 and 4. It says, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. That be in behavior as becometh holiness. Not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children. So, ladies, you're supposed to be teaching your daughters how to love their husbands. And what better way to teach them than by example? So you are commanded to love your husbands. And going back to Ephesians 5, we'll go into 26 and 27. We'll read 25 again, though. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, for the church, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. The church, the bride of Christ. Now you're getting into the marriage. The church is the bride of Christ, and one day God will call that church home. And we will be with him forever throughout all eternity. It's without spot, without blemish. It's surrendered to Christ. It's joined together. It's unified. The church has to be unified. One person sins in the church and tries to hide it, it doesn't go well. Just like Achan did after the fall of Jericho. He hid the stuff that he was told not to take. And the whole nation suffered for it because he failed to follow God's directions. Our directions by Christ is that we are to love one another. We're to love one another. I ain't got a choice. I have to love you. I'm supposed to love the whole world Jesus said, for God so loved the world. There's no one in this world we should not love. And oh, by the way, we're not judges either. I don't have the authority to judge. Only Jesus is the righteous judge. I'm to love everyone and share the love of Christ with everyone. No matter where I go, what I do, I'm to be Jesus to the world. I'm to be Jesus in my home. Where I live, I'm to be Jesus to my wife. I'm to be Jesus to everyone that comes and knocks on the door. I'm to be Jesus to my children and grandchildren. First and foremost, give you a little bit of a thing here. We have a Christmas celebration every year. Awesome thing. We have a lot of friends come by. We eat a lot of food, have a great time of fellowship. And if there's some people that stop coming that used to come every year. Now here's the testimony of Christendom. I asked them, I said, why? I ain't seen you all in a while. You ain't been to the thing for. I said, well, we don't feel comfortable being around all those people that talk about Jesus all the time. I said, well, praise the Lord. Isn't that an awesome testimony, folks? And you are the testimony. Because you come to my house that time and we share Jesus with each other. There are some people don't come. I wish they'd come and learn more so they get to know Jesus better. But that's still a good testimony to have. Let's go to Matthew. I'm going to do some more meddling here. Matthew chapter 6. We talked a little bit about this prayer in Sunday school this morning. Matthew chapter 6. We're not going to look at the prayer. We're going to look at verse number 14 and 15. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I'm telling you, it's a whole lot easier to say I'm sorry than it is to live with all the stupid stuff that goes along with not saying you're sorry. It's better to humble yourself and say, I'm sorry, I'm a grouch. I like her response every time to that. It's just funny. Then to hang on to it. We have to forgive like Christ. Now think about that. Is there anything that's so detestable that a man or woman can do to each other in their marriage that's not forgivable? Is there anything? There's not one thing, I'm telling you. For Christ to be hanging on a cross one day, years ago, on his last breath saying, Father, forgive Don, for he knows not what he's doing. Believe it or not, I nailed Christ to the cross that day. Even though I weren't existing back then, according to his word, I was part of the persons that nailed him to the cross, and my sins were laid on his shoulder, which caused communion between him and his Father to stop. And I cannot imagine what that would be like. For all eternity, he'd been in communion with his Father, and because of my sins, he didn't have communion with his Father because of me. He had to die on a cross because of me. But glory, hallelujah, he rose victorious from that grave later on, and now I have Christ in my life, and I'm going to be with him forever and ever. Okay, we can leave that part and go to Revelation now, and we'll finish this up. Revelation chapter 2. Wow, I've got plenty of time. I could read another sermon later on this morning. Revelation chapter 2, and we'll start in verse 2 and go through number 4. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Sounds good so far, right? We're doing good. He knows what we're doing, right? Then we got to go to verse 4. Nevertheless, now this is Jesus speaking to the church. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Let me tell you what that's like, folks. If your marriage to each other is not in the honeymoon phase right now, something wrong. I don't care how many years you've got with yourself in your marriage. And if your marriage to Christ is not still in the honeymoon phase, you're wrong. I want you to think back to the day that you received Christ as Lord and Savior, and what kind of spirit you had then. The fire that was coming from you, you could conquer the world because Christ was in you, and you could, man, I'm a child of the King. I'm going to go out here and tell the whole world. I'm going to go out and do this. Now, a few years later, you're like, dude, let's go visitation. Really? Aren't we supposed to still be on fire for the Lord? Has His love feigned any whatsoever for me? He still holds me in the palm of His hand no matter what. He still puts up with my stupidity and all the things that I do wrong. He still forgives and He still lifts me up. Where am I in this relationship? If He were to treat me or you the way you treat Him right now, would that be pleasing to Christ the Lord? The song says, I am satisfied with Jesus. But the question that comes to me as I look to Calvary, is my Savior satisfied with me? It's the same way with your spouse. Are you still... Guys, think about this. Are you still coming home from work occasionally and going into the cleanup phase, you know? I did one time when I was dating my wife. She sent me home. I came straight from work and I worked at a gas station. She sent me home and she says, if you're going to come out here looking like this, don't come out here. So I went home, got cleaned up, and went back out. And I never did it again like that. But if, what would happen in your marriage, guys, if you were to come home, get all gussied up, and come walking out in your fine duds and say, hey, how about we go out tonight? That would be a surprise, maybe. Huh? Wouldn't that be nice? Or the guy comes home from work, miserable day, comes home, opens the door, and his wife's standing there, and a really nice-looking dress, all gussied up and ready to go. And he goes, we haven't church? No. What's going on? We're going to go out tonight. Cool. Now, I said that on the physical appearance. Let's look at the inward appearance as we look to Christ. We are to present ourselves every day before Christ. We're to die to ourselves daily. He said, if anyone will come after me, let him take up his cross daily. Deny himself daily. And follow me. So you got the three cord strand here. You've got Jesus in your life. You've got your wife or husband's got Jesus in their life. And it can't get stronger than that, but it can. Because as you grow closer to Christ, you grow closer to each other. You have to have Jesus, though. If you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, today's the day. Don't leave here without Him. If your marriage isn't where it's supposed to be at, you know what you got to do now. Let me take it a little farther. Revelation, still in verse chapter 2, he says in verse 5, "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen." In other words, when you started falling away years ago because you got complacent with how things are, comfortable. I'm comfortable with Christ now. I can sit around and do nothing all day. "Remember from whence thou art fallen and repent." Repent. And then do the first works. In other words, the works you were doing before. And then he's got those words that I hated hearing from my mom and dad when I was in trouble. "Or else." Remember, this is God. Quite often, "or else" meant the earth opened up, swallowed them up, and then closed back up, you know? That wasn't good. Don't have to worry about a funeral then, but that ain't good. "Or else." Those that don't have Christ, you don't have a future. Everyone is a eternal being, whether you know it or not. When you're born, you're an eternal being heading to hell. There's only one way that can change, and that's that one day somebody shares Jesus Christ the Lord with you and you say, "I want that." And you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. You call upon the name of the Lord and you shall be saved, it says in Romans. And then you change your direction. Now you're not going to hell, you're going to heaven. But in Revelation chapter 20, it says, those that are not found in the book of life were cast into everlasting darkness. Your marriage is important, folks, but your marriage to Christ is first and foremost. Christ, number one. Your spouse, number two. A whole lot of others, number three. And somewhere down in the midst of all the other is you. That's where you belong. Christ came into the world to show us how to be servants, not kings. One day, He will call us home, those that know Him. Where's your marriage at, folks? Either one. Your marriage to Christ or your marriage to your spouse. Is it what it should be? If it's not, now's the time. As we do this invitation, I want you to know, now is the time. This altar is open. Don't stand there white-knuckled on the pew in front of you and say, "I'm going to do this," and then not do it. "If my people which are called by my name will humble themselves, seek my face, pray, and turn from their wicked ways," He says, "then will I hear you." So until you humble yourself, seek His face, and pray, and turn from your wicked ways, you haven't got the ear of God. You want a better marriage? It starts here at the altar today, folks. You want a better relationship with Christ? It starts here at the altar today, folks. If you want Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, to come into your life, come. We've got people that can show you how to accept Christ as your Lord and be a child of God. Whatever the reason, you come as we have this invitation this morning.
Don't put it off. Almighty God, this is your power. This is your power for that person that you serve. This is your power for that person that's here that's lost. This is your hour, Lord, for those marriages that are hurting right now. This is your hour, Holy Spirit. Just overwhelm us with your presence so that a change will happen today and people will come and desire to get where they need to be, to return to the first things, Lord, today. And I ask this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let's stand as we sing.
Fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms, I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning on the everlasting arms.